Hey guys, and welcome to Dallas Hoops Gamecast. I'm your host, Martin. We're going to talk about the Mavs against the San Antonio Spurs tonight, where the Mavericks beat the Spurs 122-117 in a really exciting and thrilling game. But first, before we get into that, I want to thank everyone for listening. And if you're listening on Apple Podcasts, please give the show a rating. And remember, there's plenty of Mavs content on our site at DallasHoopsCast.com. So the Mavericks win a thrilling game in San Antonio, 122-117, in a game that I never really felt comfortable with, because every time it looked like the Mavericks were going to run away with the game, they would get it up to 18-19. I think 18 may have been their largest lead. But it looked like they were just, it was their night. They were making all their shots, all their threes were going in, all their role players were stepping up when they needed to step up. And it just was like, okay, you know, if they're going to do this, and the Spurs didn't really have a chance. But unfortunately, they just never blew the game open. They never extended the lead beyond 17, 18 points. And the Spurs kept coming back. And in the fourth quarter, it was getting a little dicey there. Late in the fourth, the Mavericks had an 11-point lead. The Spurs pretty much erased that pretty quickly. They went on a 7-0 run, and then it just got a little bit dicey, I guess, with we had a lot of stoppage of plays because we had to have some calls reviewed, some plays reviewed. Things didn't really go the Mavs' way in these reviews. They went for the Spurs. But the Spurs never fully capitalized at the end of the game. You saw DeRozan miss another free throw late in the game. And the Mavericks, thankfully, they made big plays when they needed to at the very end. Luka with a cold-blooded turnaround fadeaway off the glass to give the Mavericks a little bit of cushion. And then he drove it again and dished it over to Jalen Brunson there in the corner. And Jalen Brunson hits a huge three. At that point, I thought the game was over. I felt really confident with the Mavericks' performance, and that, you know, they were going to come away with this game. But unfortunately, the Spurs, Rudy Gay comes right back in like 2 seconds and drains a really long three. And I was like, figures, you know, again, I never felt comfortable with this game. I never felt like the Mavericks had it in hand. And I just thought it was going to be one of those crazy kind of nights where you have the lead, everything's going well, and then at the very end of the game, things just don't go your way. And the Mavericks, they weren't hitting their shots there for a long time. And I thought the Spurs were going to come away with it. And the last thing I wanted was a free throw game, because last year the Mavericks weren't very good in these situations when the game was on the line and they had to go up and make free throws. Even when there was their good free throw shooters, like Hardaway, who was 80% last year, and Porzingis last year was 80%. They would always miss a big free throw when you needed them to make them both to ice the game, and then the team would come back and hit a three, tie it, and they'd either win the game, the opposing team, or go into overtime, and the Mavericks would lose in overtime. But this time it didn't happen. Porzingis got the ball, he got fouled, made both free throws. I felt great when the first one went in. It's like, okay, well, maybe they're starting to change their ways a little bit in these late game situations. You saw Wes Iwundu step up real big. All we needed from him was just one, and he went up and hit both of them. So really big free throws, and that's how you win close games. And that's why the Mavericks were so good for so many years, because they had Dirk. And when Dirk got fouled at the end of the game, it was automatic. There was no pressure. There was no thought that he might miss it. He had ice in his veins. He would go in there, drain him every time. And the Mavericks were always good in late game situations because of their free throw shooting and late game execution. But last year, they failed to hit their shots. They failed to get stops, and they failed to hit free throws. And that's why their late game or their close game record was really, really poor. But what you're seeing a little bit different this year is Luka's hitting these shots now when you really needed him to. I think it was more like his rookie year, he was really, really good late game situation. Last year, he struggled a bit for whatever reason. You know, maybe it was just coincidence. Maybe he just happened to miss some shots. But this year, he's doing a lot better. He's hitting shots when the Mavericks really need him to. And I thought that turnaround off the backboard was ice in his veins, and it was the kind of shot that superstars make to end the game, and that's what you want them to do, and I thought that's what he did. And really, Luka was magnificent tonight, especially in that first quarter. He had 19 points, but he finished the game 36 points, 9 rebounds, 11 assists, that one rebound shy of a triple-double. He shot a lot, 13 of 28, but, you know, when you have so many guys out, you need your best players to shoot the ball. And 4 of 12 from 3, we haven't seen Luka shoot that many threes this year. I think this is the most threes he shot all season with 12. He hit 4 of them, 33%, which is about what Luka is. That's who he is from the three-point line. 6 of 6 from the free throw line. Again, not getting there at the rate that I'd like to see him get there, and it's not for a lack of trying, just, again, not getting the whistle. I thought you saw a prime example of what I talked about in the last post game. Luka did that little up and under in the post and didn't get the whistle because the guy was standing straight up, and then DeRozan did it to Luka, and DeRozan got the whistle. And it's just like, you know, Luka's not getting these same calls, but I'm not going to harp on it because the Mavericks won, and I want to keep this positive tonight. Porzingis, I thought Porzingis was super efficient. 21 points, 8 rebounds, only 14 shots, 7 of 14 from the field, 3 of 5 from 3, and 4 of 4 from the free throw line. Anytime you can score 21 points on 14 shots, that's really, really efficient. I thought the Mavericks really could have found a little bit more shots for him. A lot of the game, he was kind of sitting as a decoy instead of the actual pick and roll guy, and I think a lot of that is because Popovich made an adjustment where LaMarcus Aldridge wasn't guarding Porzingis anymore, and really he had no choice because early in the game when Aldridge was guarding Porzingis and Porzingis was setting the screen, it was killing the Spurs. Porzingis was just getting wide open shots, so they put Aldridge on Josh Green and they put him on Wes Iwundu, and so for a while Luka was playing the pick and roll game with somebody else. And so Porzingis was kind of sitting out there as a decoy. And, you know, it is what it is. It was what the Mavericks needed. It opened up the offense for them. And they were able to drop 122 points on the Spurs. And he still was able to get 21 points. So overall, I think it was the last two games have been really promising from Porzingis. Hopefully we're getting second half of the year Porzingis early this year. We don't have to wait 20 games. Because he's looked really good the last couple of games. He was a plus 24 in a 5-point win. Now, again, plus minus in a single game situation isn't always the most accurate stat. But, you know, in this case, because it goes in our favor, we'll use it. And Porzingis was a plus 24 in a 5-point game. And I really did think that every time he was out there, the offense did flow really well. He got a couple of touches in the post. And he did a fadeaway and a little turnaround jumper, and they worked well for him. He actually made them tonight, which is good to see because he hasn't been very efficient with those in the past. But some of these teams that they played the last two games have been really, really small in the Pacers and the Spurs, especially the Pacers because Miles Turner was out. So Sabonis was playing their five, and he's not the biggest five, and they ran four wings out there. And so he was able to take advantage in that situation to have a good night. And again, against the Spurs tonight, they played kind of small with Aldridge at the five, but then the rest of it was a bunch of wings. And Aldridge wasn't even guarding him most of the time. He had a small on him. So giving him the ball in the post where he can do a little turnaround fadeaway or turnaround jumper is probably a pretty efficient shot. Again, I thought there could have been opportunities that you got Porzingis involved a little bit more to get him some shots or to maybe capitalize on some of these mismatches, but it didn't work out that way. Trey Burke was hot. Jalen was hot. Tim Hardaway was making his shots. And so it still worked in the Mavericks' favor. They were able to get a lot of points tonight. Again, 122 points on the board. I thought Jalen Brunson was he had a good night. He's been good. Now that he's got increased minutes, he's actually having a bigger impact on the game with these increased minutes. And what you saw was that big three at the end of the game. And those are the kind of shots that, you know, good players make. And it's not always about putting 20 points on the board. It's, do you make the shots when you need them to be made, when they need to be made most? And that's late game situations, and that's in the playoffs. And Brunson has had a couple of shots in his short career with Dallas where he stepped up and hit some big shots. Most notably, I remember specifically his rookie year against Minnesota. In Minnesota, he hit a huge three in the corner off a pass from Luka to help win that game. And he's hit some other ones. They're just not coming to my mind right now. And tonight he hit that big three in the fourth quarter against the Spurs that made it a six-point game and essentially kind of iced the game. So, you can't really ask for much more from Brunson. It's really hard to justify some of the negative things that I've said about him in the past, like him and Porzingis, I've been really critical of. And, you know, it's hard for me to justify my words and the things that I've said after the last couple of games from them, because they've really stepped it up. And like I said in those podcasts, I really hope I'm wrong about Porzingis and Brunson, because if I am, then that just means the Mavericks are that much better of a team. And tonight and again, the last two nights, really, they've really proven me wrong, made me eat my own words. And so good for the Mavericks, because they need it. They still have so many of their rotation guys out. They're still missing their best defenders on the team. 3/5 of their starting lineup is out. And we need to get these guys back. And you heard on the broadcast, if you were watching on the Mavs broadcast, that we should expect to get a couple of these guys back maybe next week. But we really just don't know a timetable, because I believe the protocol is you have to test negative for 10 days in a row. And if these guys actually tested positive, they're going to be sick for a while. Thankfully, none of them seriously, as far as I know. And then once they recover, then they have to test negative for 10 days in a row before they can return. And so we're going to have a couple more games without some of our key rotation guys. And we really need to get them back, because we're at 500 right now. We're at 8-7 after tonight, after beating the Spurs. I think we move up to the 8th spot now or something like that because of beating the Spurs. But, you know, we need to get them back, because we can only maintain this for so long. And we're asking guys to play huge every single night that aren't really accustomed. The Mavericks kind of do it by committee over the last couple of seasons, where every night you didn't really know who it was that was going to be the rotation guy or the role player that was going to step up and hit his shots that night. And that's just because these guys in the past haven't consistently done that on a nightly basis. And so it usually is kind of a rotation and matchup base, where some nights it's Maxey, some nights it's Dorian, some nights it's Brunson, some nights it's Hardaway. And, you know, so getting these guys back will help the Mavericks out. And I think defensively as well, because we're missing Josh Richardson on guarding some of these wings. He would be the primary defender on DeMar DeRozan. I think he would have made things a little bit uncomfortable for DeRozan. And he would have been the primary defender tomorrow against Victor Oladipo as he makes his Mavs or his Rockets debut against the Mavericks. He would be the primary defender against Victor Oladipo. But overall, it's really hard to complain. Like I said in the last podcast, whenever the Mavericks win, the attitude is so much better. You can sleep peacefully at night. And I was really nervous about this game. And I would have been a gut punch if they didn't finish this game off and didn't come away with a victory, because you got to come right back tomorrow night and face Houston on the second night of a back-to-back after a gut-wrenching loss with all of our guys out. It just was a recipe for disaster. You know, but they were able to pull it out. So good for them. The Spurs, like I mentioned earlier, they were led by DeMar DeRozan, 29 points. I've always been a huge DeMar DeRozan fan. I don't understand some of the criticism or some of the things that even Mavs fans say about him. If he was potentially available in a trade or free agency, I would take him in a heartbeat. I don't think there'd be any questions asked with that. I don't know if the Mavericks would, because of their whole analytics thing. They like three-point shooting, and they hate the mid-range shot, even if the guy is really efficient at it. Now, he is not as efficient this year as he was last year, but DeMar DeRozan is a very efficient two-point scorer. And tonight he had 29 points, 6 rebounds, 6 assists, and he got 16 free throw attempts. And you know what? That kind of upsets me, seeing that, because I don't want to harp on this on every single game, but 16 free throw attempts for DeRozan, I thought he got the benefit of whistles. Now, he was getting fouled. I'm not saying the refs were making bad calls. They were calling the right call. He was getting fouled. The Mavs didn't have very good defenders out there. We don't have very good wing defenders right now, so a lot of times we're going to be out of position and foul. I just want to see Luka get the benefit of some of these whistles. As much as he drives into the lane and as much attention as he gets, he doesn't get the same calls. And again, like I mentioned last night or in the last podcast, Luka did that little post move where he kind of goes into the middle of the court and rises up and kind of gets the defender off balance. The defender, you know, is kind of standing up, straight up, but they call a foul on him. And a lot of times it is a foul. It sucks for the defender because it's like, what do you want me to do when Luke is kind of initiating most of the contact, but it is a foul. And tonight he did that, didn't get the whistle. And then DeMar DeRozan did the exact same thing on Luka and got the whistle. And that's been my point about the free throw situation with Luka. He's just not getting the benefit of the whistles that other players are. Again, I don't want to harp on it every single game, but it just gets pretty frustrating after a while. So DeRozan, 13 of 16. Thankfully, he missed three free throws for a 90% free throw shooter. Really helped the Mavericks out. I thought it was annoying that Aldridge had 26 points and 9 rebounds. He's really just not the same guy that he used to be. I think on the season, he's averaging 13 points a game. He can't guard anybody. If you saw the Mavericks attack him, every time he was stuck on a guard, the Mavericks would attack that mismatch, and it's because he just cannot move his feet anymore. He's just not mobile, and it reminds me a lot of an older Dirk when he was getting close to retiring. He just cannot move laterally. And Aldridge, he can't move laterally. He doesn't get the same lift on his jumper, so he doesn't get a lot of post opportunities, doesn't get a lot of jump shots, and he's not a very good three-point shooter this year. Now, of course, he went 4-7 from three against the Mavs. I think he hit his first four, which was really annoying to see, because it's like, of all the nights you decide you want to play hard, it was against Dallas. But he had 26 points and 9 rebounds. And that's pretty much, I mean, Keldon Johnson, 17 and 14, 17 points, 14 rebounds. If you're a Spurs fan, you got to really like what he brings to the floor. He plays with a lot of energy and a lot of emotion. Every time the Spurs would make some kind of mini run, you would see him screaming, fist pumping. He goes really hard at the basket. Sometimes he gets himself in trouble by making a boneheaded play, driving it into traffic. Or one thing I notice he does is he's anticipating contact a little bit too much and trying to get the benefit of the whistle, mainly by screaming his head off every time he drives into the lane. And thankfully, the refs didn't reward him very often on those opportunities. But outside of that, I mean, Rudy Gay, 16, but that he hit that big three late in the game, and Patty Mills, 13. And then they were without DeJounte Murray, who in the first minute of the game you saw sprained his ankle landing on Porzingis' foot. But that's the recap for the Mavs and Spurs game. Again, it was a very fun game to watch. It got a little dicey there at the end of the game. I thought the Mavs role players stepped up. They hit their shots. They shot 48% from the floor, 36% from three. It's really hard to beat a Mavericks team when they're hitting their shots, because Luka can find people all over the court. And if they're dropping, it's usually a win for the Mavericks, whether they're playing good defense or not. And tonight, their defense just is going to kind of have to sit on the sideline until their players get back, and they're going to have to win some games with their offense. And hopefully they'll get these guys back soon, and we can see that number two defense rating that we saw earlier in the season. Tomorrow night, they don't get much rest. They play the Houston Rockets. Now, the one good thing is the Rockets also play tonight, and they played a close game. I think they ended up losing by one or winning by one against the Detroit Pistons. Let me just confirm with that. And anytime you have a back-to-back, yeah, they won by one against the Pistons on the road. Anytime you have a back-to-back, you like to see a close game of the opponent that you're facing as well, which means all their starters played the majority of the night. Just to do a quick view of their minutes. So Eric Gordon, 36, Oladipo, 35, Tucker, 33, Cousins, 32, and Jason Tate with 32 as well. So their starters played pretty heavy minutes. They are going to be without Christian Wood. Hopefully, I don't want to wish, you know, injury on anybody, but there's a high chance that he won't play against the Mavs tomorrow night, which would benefit us. He is pretty difficult to stop in the pick and roll game. So we'll see how that goes tomorrow. It'd be nice to get a win against the Rockets. They're not the same team as they were. John Wall's out, and Harden obviously is gone in Brooklyn now. So it'd be nice to get that win, get three in a row, and kind of put this little mini slump behind us, and then get our players back. So anyways, I will talk to you guys tomorrow night after the Rockets game. Thank you very much for listening, and have a good night.